Anyway, okay. God is good, and He is here with us. And I sometimes marvel just thinking about this, you know, how things work out. If you look at our gathering here and you compare it with what's happening in Lakeland, it's a bit different in terms of magnitude. You know, we're a relatively small gathering, and they're ministering to the nations. And then I look at the ingredients, you know, what's actually going on. You think of the worship that we've just enjoyed, been blessed by. And you have to think to yourself, well, this worship is as good as the worship that's taking place at Lakeland. And even when the words come up, now I did it tonight, but normally Elizabeth does it. And Elizabeth can actually do the words better than whoever's doing it at Lakeland. They're absolutely hopeless of putting the words up. In fact, for the first few weeks, they didn't even come. And, you know, you go through everything and you think, well, we've got it, haven't we? And we've got the same great God. In the end, that's what it's all about. In the end, that our God is the same God we are worshipping here and there is being worshipped. And I believe also that God is giving us a new faith. I don't know whether we can match Todd's faith yet. I'm not going to pray for hundreds of dead people to be raised. I'm not ready for that yet, but we have the potential. We have the same potential. We have the same God, and we have the same potential, and we can aspire to that. I wasn't going to say any of that. What I was going to say is I want us briefly just to look at one problem verse in the scripture. And let me read it out right at the very beginning, and then we'll get to it and go around it. Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples, you find it in John 14 and verse 12. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. He will do greater things than these. And for me, that has always been a problem verse. That's a problem verse. And, you know, for me, I've tended towards the kind of liberal theologian side, you know, trying to explain it away or interpret it in some way. And I want to sort of repent of that this evening because I think it's wrong. Jesus, it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus healed all who were under the power or all who were oppressed of the devil, all who were oppressed by the devil. That was when Peter was talking to Cornelius. Oh, by the way, last time I spoke here, I got something wrong. And I said something about David being anointed. And I said Saul anointed David. Do you remember? Anyone pick that up? Well, what I want you to do tonight is if I make any silly mistakes, like that one, let me know. And if there's something I say which is wrong or doesn't make any sense, then tell me. In a loud voice, because I don't necessarily hear that well. You would know that it wasn't Saul that anointed David. Who was it now? Samuel. Okay. Well, tell me if I get anything wrong. And ask me if something is not clear. Anyway, I think it was Cornelius that Peter was talking to in Acts chapter 10. And he described the ministry of Jesus. And he said, Jesus healed all who were under the power of the devil. Or in the RSV it says, all who were oppressed. And this reminds us of that commission that Jesus began his ministry with, when he said he was anointed to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and release the oppressed. And having begun his ministry in that way, Jesus went on and he sent out his disciples with the same ministry. And then later, we read in John how he gathered his disciples together and prepared them for what was going to happen. He prepared them for the cross, for the fact that he was going to leave them. And part of that discourse, as Jesus talked to his disciples, he says this in John 14, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do greater things than these." So how do we handle that? How can we cope with that? It's a problem verse. And I want us to think about that tonight and think about it in this way. First of all, how many people were raised from the dead under Jesus' ministry? I say that's an open question. I don't know the answer to it. How many can you count up were raised? I've got as far as three. You get the three. Right. So we've got Lazarus, we've got Jairus' daughter, and we've got the widow of Nain, her son. Okay. Now then, if you, I don't know if you know the history of Smith Wigglesworth, but how many were raised from the dead in his ministry? I don't know the answer. Does anyone know what it is? At least two, yes, yeah? Because he raised his wife at least twice. She died once, he prayed for her and she was raised, and then she died again later, I think, if I remember the account. And then the second time, she said, "Why did you bother? You know, I don't want to come back." And he let her go. All right, three was it? Well, yeah, right. Well, I think it's probably more than that. So, and then you've got, you know, this guy, Todd Bentley, he's a nuisance because he's got all these, how many? He's counted 25. And not that necessarily that he's prayed for them directly, but under his ministry, they're now saying that maybe 25 or so have been raised from the dead. So how do we square that? You know, we think, well, you know, it can't be more powerful than Jesus. It can't be a more powerful ministry than the ministry of Jesus himself. So we've got to actually understand this and square it and see where we fit into this picture. So what is the key? Well, the key is in what comes after those words. Jesus says, "He will do greater things than these because I am going to the Father." And that is the key. You see, since Jesus has gone to be with the Father, and since he now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, the ministry of Jesus continues. Jesus intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. So the ministry of Jesus continues. And if you read in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "Jesus Christ, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." And there's a similar verse in Hebrews, and there's another verse a bit like it in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. And there the writer of the Hebrews says, he writes these words, and the words that the Father God is saying about Jesus. And he says this, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool under your feet." But just think of that for a moment, that Jesus' ministry, I don't know whether you say it began here on earth, because it even goes before that, but let's say it was introduced here to mankind here on earth, in his ministry on earth, but that ministry now continues as he is at the right hand of the Father. So that's the first key difference. And as we look at that, in that part of John's Gospel, you know, around about chapter 14 and 15, Jesus has a whole lot to say, which is relevant to, I think, to me and to us where we are at the moment in this move of God. And if you have chance to look through those chapters of Jesus talking about the vine and the branches, it's vitally important for where we are. And Jesus says something like this. to his disciples gathered there, "I will do anything you ask in my name. I will do anything you ask in my name, but apart from me, you can do very little, nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So when we compare the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of his, where he raised the dead, and we compare that with Smith Wigglesworth and with Todd Bentley, whoever you like, there is a significant difference. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, he ministered. He was one with the Father, and he did the works of the Father. And in a sense, he ministered under the authority of his own name. He didn't actually speak it out, but he simply worked with the Father to heal the sick and to release the oppressed and all the rest of it. And in that sense, he ministered under the authority of his own name. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You ask anything of me and I will give it. Ask in my name." In other words, the authority that I give to you is the authority that I'm handing or giving to you in my name, the name of Jesus. So this is the vital difference between the healings that take place under Wigglesworth and Bentley, that they are not ministering under their own power and authority. They are ministering under the power and authority of the name of Jesus. And they, in that sense, that what is happening is that the work that Jesus began on earth now continues through his servants. He began his ministry in his own name. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, intercedes on our behalf, and as we minister in the name of Jesus, Jesus intercedes for us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit does that work through us. So we're not looking or comparing Todd Bentley, Smith Wigglesworth with Jesus. We're looking at a transference of authority. And here I think it's useful to go back to this picture that Jesus gave of the vine. He said, you can do nothing. That in your ministry you are to be like a branch grafted into the vine, into the trunk, the main stem of the vine. And that you and I are simply the branch through which the sap flows. That we are just there as a conduit, if you like, to bear the fruit. The fruit is the important thing. The fruit hangs off the vine, but we are just the branches. We're there just to provide that channel, that means of ministry that Jesus continues to minister through his servants in Jesus' name. So in a sense, when Jesus says, "Greater things will you do," what he's saying is, if I can paraphrase it, he's saying that if you will minister for me, if you will minister for me, I will do even greater things through you than I did when I was on the earth. And so this puts a whole different perspective on this problem, on this verse. So I think this is a way we tend to look at the man, don't we? We tend to look at Todd Bentley. We tend to look at the man and think, why is God using this man? And the answer is simply because he is the... Well, I'm wondering if we could actually liken it to a delivery man. If a delivery man comes to your door with a parcel, big parcel, you're not expecting it, and the delivery man hands over the parcel to you on the doorstep, and there are two questions that come into your mind. What's in the parcel, and who sent it? You know, we don't actually look at the delivery man. We don't actually care too much whether he's smartly dressed or not. We look at the parcel and we think, what's in the parcel? Where's it come from? And to me, I think that's the way we need to look at what is happening in Lakeland, and we trust it beginning to happen here as well. Not who is the delivery man, but what's in the gift? Where is it coming from? The delivery man actually doesn't matter. As long as he's doing his job, as long as he's being faithful and doing the delivery and not stealing it, and not taking it to himself, then he's doing his job, and that's all that's required of him. As long as he continues to do the deliveries, he'll have his job. If he stops, you know, and gives up, he'll lose his job. He'll get the sack. If he steals what he's supposed to deliver and takes it to himself, then he'll get the sack. But so long as he continues to deliver, people are not going to look too worried too much about what he looks like, whether he's smartly dressed or anything like that. They're only concerned in the gift. And that's how we should look at it, I believe, in this move of the Spirit. So we've had some testimonies of healing, and we can thank God for what he's done already. But if you think of this analogy of the delivery man, there are more parcels to be delivered, and some of them are more valuable, if that's the right way of describing it. You see, if the delivery man is faithful and delivers, you know, the small parcel, then he'll be trusted with more. And as he's trusted with more, then there'll be, you know, greater blessing. Now, as I mentioned before, I don't think we're in our body here, I don't think we're thinking about one ministry, one person's ministry. We're ministering as a body. And so none of us are taking this, you know, personally, as I'm the one who has the faith, I'm the one who is going to sort of lead this and make it all happen. We are a body ministry. And if it's going to happen at Mount Chapel, then it's going to happen as a body ministry. So what I'm saying here isn't directed to one person, it's directed to all of us. That if we are faithful with what God has given us, if we are faithful in delivering, you know, what he's already told us to deliver, then he will entrust us with more. And we'll see even greater things. And I believe we need to be hungry for even greater things. And what, praise God for the, you know, healings, the you know, pain that's gone, and the physiotherapy, I don't know what the right word is, but the corrections to the body that have been made. Thank God for that, but let's look to even greater things. And, you know, speaking personally for a moment, there was a time when I had difficulty in actually raising the faith for these things. I believe them, you know, because God has touched me many years ago and told me that he wanted me to have a healing ministry. But there are times when I've had difficulty in actually raising the faith to do that. But in this current move of God, I believe it's easy. And it's easy because God is filling us with his energy, with his power. We can actually feel it, many of us. And when there's a kind of electrical surge going through your body, it's not difficult to imagine that as you lay hands on somebody, that they're going to benefit from that. You know, that something's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, it's not a proof that something. But what I'm trying to say is that in this atmosphere, faith, you know, is not that hard. I mean, we've told it only requires a mustard grain anyway. But it's as though God is doing it on his own, almost. He's not requiring much from us. Because in a sense, turning up because he's with, manifesting his presence, because he's here. And tangibly here, if you know what I mean. Then faith isn't so difficult. So because of that, I think the greater things are to come. We just have to hang in there, if you like. I don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, the elders will know that it's a case of doing it week by week. You know, people turn up, we'll continue. But this particular move, you know, we don't know how long it will last, but something is going to happen. Something greater than what we see at the moment. I believe that. I mean, I've seen it over a period of weeks, even before we went out to Lakeland. There was evidence in my spirit that things were beginning to happen. And I believe that this is not over yet. Because, you know, Curtis is coming back, and who knows what's going to happen after that. But we're in for something more longer term here, I believe. And we have to be faithful with what God has entrusted to us. That's the key, I think. So, in short, Jesus can do greater things through us because we're not doing it in own authority, we're not doing it to show off in any sense. We're doing it in obedience to what Jesus has called us to do. And we're doing it in His name. It's not a power that is inherently in us as a body. We're simply there as branches in this vine, as conduits, something through which the power of God, you know, by His grace and mercy, and it's awesome, really. Why would God actually want us to do this? But there's no clear reason for that. But He does. He wants to use us in this ministry of bringing in the kingdom, establishing the kingdom wherever we go, whatever we do. So I wonder if as we move into a time of ministry, if I could pray first, and then John, if we could organize us after that. I'd like us to pray and set the scene, if you like, for a time of ministry. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We acknowledge your presence in the worship, in your word. And in this time of ministry now, we invite you to come, Holy Spirit, with the ministry of Jesus. With the authority of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, let your kingdom come in this place. Let your will be done right now. Father, in heaven there's perfect freedom. There's no bondage. No sickness. Let your kingdom come in this place. In heaven, the enemy has no authority. Only the name of Jesus has authority. All power and all authority is given to the Son. The enemy stands defeated in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come in this place tonight. This is holy ground. And right now I take the authority of the name of Jesus, the Holy One, God's Son. And I declare in the name of Jesus that the enemy is defeated. You have no legal right to oppress those who come in the name of Jesus. Your authority is broken. The kingdom of God is near. It is at hand. And in the name of Jesus, I declare release and freedom. In the name of Jesus, I declare release and freedom. Be set free. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come.